Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I know some of you probably went garage sailing the other day on Saturday, and I came across a garage sale that had a whole big bin of Legos. It was this amazing bin of Legos. I didn't buy it because I thought, what would I do with it? But just this whole bin full of all kinds of Legos from all kinds of different sets, all mixed together. And it reminded me of being a kid with my Lego box full of all kinds of different pieces. And for some, it might have been rather annoying because my pieces were all mixed together in one big mess. And, you know, when things are messy, it can get rather annoying. It's nice in life when things are organized, when things are where they are supposed to be. There are times when we look at the church and we think, boy, this is kind of messy. There's some messy things going on in the church. And we look at the world and we see, on the one hand, some wonderful good things taking place, but then also some terrible things, and it's all mixed together, and it's kind of a mess. And I think sometimes when we have a mess in this world or in the church, it can be kind of frustrating, and we wish that everything would be put into its place, and sometimes we might say, Lord, why do you allow this mess to be? Why do we have this mess in the church or in the world? You know, we don't always have easy answers to those things. But Jesus today gives a parable that actually is a bit messy in some ways. He talks about the kingdom of God and he talks about a field, and the field is a mess. Now, Jesus is giving a parable, and remember from last week, I talked about what a parable is, and some might describe a parable as an earthly message with a heavenly meaning. An earthly message with a heavenly meaning. And so we see in the parables where we have images that are given. And in this case, there are agricultural images given. And that would make sense because Jesus is in the region of the Sea of Galilee, a very good place for agriculture. Last week, you remember the parable of the sower with the seed and the different fields. This week, it's a little different. But Jesus gives this parable. And what is the reason for the parable? Well, the parable is describing the kingdom of God. It's describing how God is at work in this world by the spreading of his word. And so Jesus gives this parable, and we're going to go through that and look at it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, says of Jesus, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I wonder if those servants that were looking at the field of the master were rather annoyed or frustrated because in this field were wheat and weeds. Now, certainly the master explains that this is due to sabotage. And believe it or not, this is something that would happen. This is something that you can find documented in history, where you might have an angry tenant, someone who's renting out the land, and they get really angry and disgruntled, and when they're told to leave, before they leave, they go ahead and sow bad seed into the field, and it creates a mess. So this is the scenario. We've got this field, this beautiful field, that was planted with much care and concern, and then an enemy comes along and sows weeds in the field, and that's frustrating. Now, it's one thing to have weeds in your garden, and you know, gardeners, how frustrating weeds are, and how angry you would be if someone purposefully put weeds in your garden. But these aren't just any weeds. Now, in the text, in the Greek, is the word zizania. Zizania is the Greek word, and it really refers to a specific type of weed. And some of you might be familiar with this weed, and we'll see. Is anybody familiar with the weed called darnel? Anybody familiar with the weed called darnel? Well, I'll explain. And the botanical name is Lolium temulentum. Okay? Darnel. And basically, darnel is a weed that looks very much like wheat. It's a mimic of wheat. And when darnel is there among the wheat, initially you can't tell the difference between the wheat and the darnel until the roots have already begun entwined, and pretty soon the wheat and the darnel are there mixed together, then you can start to tell the difference. But by that time, if you try to pull out the darnel, you might pull out the wheat with it. That's where the master says, nope, we're going to wait. We're not going to pull the weeds out yet, lest we might pull the wheat out. But nonetheless, it's a mess. And this darnel isn't just any weed. It's not just an annoying weed. It's also a poisonous weed. And there are cases of people having bread made with wheat and darnel. And they actually get sick, very sick. Sometimes someone who has eaten bread made with wheat and darnel exhibits the symptoms of drunkenness. The Romans actually had a derogatory term for people that were kind of dumb, and they would say that they're on darnel. So this is a real historical thing. And so we have this poisonous weed that is there among the wheat in the midst of this field. And if that's not a mess, I don't know what is. And yet the master waits to pull out this weed. So before we get to speculating too much about this parable, we'll look at what Jesus says the parable means. That's the beauty of this particular parable. Just like last week, Jesus actually gives the explanation for the parable. So I want to take a look at that and see what kind of implications it may have for our life and the messiness that we might see in the church or in the world. So Jesus, he explains the parable to his disciples. He says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, it says, the disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So we see that in our world, we have believers and non-believers all mixed up together. The truth is, we can find that in the world, but also in the pews. You can have people coming to church, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a relationship with the Lord. And we will find in our world and in our churches a mix, and it can get really, really messy sometimes. Just as darnel is a mimic weed, as it looks like the real thing, there are times when it's not always easy to tell what is of God, who are of God and who are not, until later on. Jesus has some harsh words, actually, for the religious leaders. If you'll notice in the scriptures, he has words for those that are within the church as the Pharisees, those that are interpreting the scriptures. And notice what he calls them. Notice what he says about them. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you did not believe me. Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The sobering reality that we find in the world and in the church is that there are people in pulpits and people in pews that aren't necessarily Christians. And this can be a serious problem, and it can create a big mess. There are pastors in pulpits who can be false teachers and false preachers. And how do you know this? Well, what you start to see is when Jesus and what he has done for you, his death and resurrection, when that begins to be omitted or ignored or pushed to the side, then you know that there's a problem. when it starts becoming more about your prosperity and how well you might be able to do in this life and not about your Savior Jesus, then you know that there's a problem. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain." The problem is that there are poisonous things being taught, poisonous things which take root and then grow and infect hearts and lives. We can also see that in the pews, there are people that are not necessarily believers in Jesus. The truth of the matter is that just because a person attends church does not make them a Christian. Just because a person attends church does not mean that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul has some sobering words. He says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." And so we see this in the world and in the church. And so what we have here is a messy situation. We do see false teachers and false preachers. We see people that are in church that are maybe only going because of their girlfriend or their boyfriend, because they're trying to make a good impression, and yet they're not believers. And this is all mixed together. And on the one hand, it might be frustrating, and we say, "Lord, why is this such a mess? Why do we look around and see this issue here and that issue here? Why do we see a bunch of squabbling among church people that are supposed to have the love of Jesus in their heart? God, it's a mess. It's disgusting." And yet for now, this is what we see. And yet there are words of, on the one hand, judgment, but on the other hand, words of hope. Because there's a time coming when things will be made right. There is a time coming when everything will be put in order and all will be made right. But there's first of all some sobering words, because the harvest is coming. For now we see a mess in our world and in the church, but there's a time coming when there will be the harvest. And Matthew 13:40 has some various, very sobering words. "Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That, my friends, isn't very popular to hear or to say. And it's really not that much fun to talk about either, the fact that there's judgment coming, that there is punishment for sin. But it's the truth and it's the reality. So the question we might have lingering in our minds is, well, am I good seed? Am I wheat or am I weed? Maybe that's crossed your mind. Well, how do you know if you're a weed or if you're wheat? That's a very good and significant question to ask, isn't it? Well, first of all, ask yourself, am I trusting in Jesus Christ for my salvation? Or am I trusting in myself and my good works, or so-called good works? For there's no one who is righteous, not even one. Am I trusting in Jesus? Do I believe that wonderful good news of the gospel that says Jesus Christ was crucified and raised for me? That's the essence of the gospel. Not that some guy named Jesus died on a cross somewhere, but the essence of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for me. The essence of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died and was raised for you. Do you believe this? If so, then you have the gift of faith. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and this is God at work in your heart and your life. Also, along with the gift of faith, that has been given to you follows repentance. It means that there is a turning away from what is evil, turning away from what is sin, turning away and saying, Lord, I have failed. I want to go the other direction. That's one of the reasons why at the beginning of our service, we have what we call the confession, an absolution. It's a reminder to us that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we stand before God with nothing of our own, but rather we solely cling to Jesus Christ, who has died and risen for you. So we have the fruits of faith and repentance, and then also those good things which God has prepared in advance for us to do, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says. And we see then a manifestation of fruits. Last week we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And this also means then good things towards our neighbor, towards those that God has put in our life. Again, this is a response to the gospel. This is not earning God's favor, but rather a response. So those are the things that we look for. For we know that it is in Christ Jesus alone that we are saved. I find it interesting, the prayer that we had today, the collect as we call it. Listen to this collect. I love it. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The time is coming, though, when Christ is coming back and things will be sorted out. But for those that are trusting in Jesus, it will be a time of rejoicing. I think for us, as we look at this text, we can also take comfort that all will be made right and put into place. Because for now, we can find ourselves frustrated with all the nonsense that we see in the church and the world, but know that it's not going to last, that there will come a time when God will put everything in order. You know those things that we hear about on the news that we shake our finger at and say, that is so wrong, that's such an injustice. How could the courts have done such a dumb thing? How could people have gotten away with this particular thing that they did? How could this government official be so stupid? And we can get all frustrated and angry as we get focused here in the present. Or as we look at the church and we say, how could that pastor have said that? That was so ridiculous. But we need to take the long view. We need to take the eternal perspective. Chill out, because things are going to be put in order. I love the fact that God is God and I am not. Because if I were God, have you ever thought about that? If I were God, this is what I would do. I'm thankful that I'm not God. I'm thankful you're not God, because I think we'd probably screw things up pretty big. But thankfully, we have a God who is all-knowing. He sees the big picture. He knows every single detail. He knows why things are happening, and he has a reason for allowing certain things to happen. As we hear in Romans, the text next week, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I love our Old Testament lesson. Oh, this is great. Isaiah 44:67. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? So I take comfort in the fact that God is reigning on his throne. He knows what's best for you and for me. He knows about the mess in the world. You can't surprise God. You know, we come to God sometimes in our prayers and say, Lord, look at this mess over here. Look at this mess. And God says, yeah, I know. I'm aware of it. Can we trust our God to take care of the mess? Can we trust that God can work even in the midst of the mess? Absolutely. Because think about the cross. That, by all human accounts, was a mess. That the Son of God would be crucified. And yet God, through that horrible mess, made the great good news of the gospel a reality for you in the midst of that mess. So for now, we have hope. Knowing that Christ is coming back, all will be made right. For then, as it says in Matthew 13:43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And even now, God is at work. And so I'd like to close with this prayer. Even so, Lord, quickly come. Bring thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin, there forever purified, in thy presence to abide. Come, with all thine angels come, raise the glorious harvest home. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting, when all will be made right. Amen.